Good afternoon or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. And welcome to another session at AzureConf. My name is Chris Woodruff, and today we will be talking about creating mobile solutions, cross-platform mobile solutions with HTML5 and Azure Mobile Services. So let's dig in. So a little bit about myself. My name is Chris Woodruff. Everyone calls me Woody. I work at Telerik. I'm a trainer there. I train around a lot of the web products. And I'm also a Microsoft MVP. In addition to that, I do have a podcast called Deep Fried Bites. If you like listening to podcasts, I welcome you to take a listen. And we'll have lots of episodes coming up. So let's dig in. So before we get into the content of this session, I would like to remind everyone that we will be having the Windows Azure Global Bootcamp on the 27th of this month. We're going to have over 100 groups meeting to go over a full day of Azure learning and help. So if there is a group around you, I advise you and I suggest that you go and attend and become part of the community. And in addition to that, you know, everything in here, you can get 90-day free trials with Windows Azure. So go out and get your free trial and try out Azure if you haven't yet. So the outline for this talk is going to be, we're going to be moving the to-do project that everyone, if you have seen mobile services, that everyone downloads right away and they kind of take a look at. We're going to move that to be a mobile app. Then we're going to talk about the basics of a HTML5 app for mobile platforms such as iOS and Android, going through a product that will take the HTML and the JavaScript and the CSS and move it over to those platforms. And then we'll talk about hooking in Azure Mobile Services, and then we'll bring it all together and just talk about some best practices and what you guys should do. And then we'll talk about publishing the app to the stores. And then we'll take some questions and answers at the end. So, or just ask questions as we go through. I'll stop every once in a while and answer questions. So please ask away. So what we're gonna use today, we're gonna be using mobile services from Windows Azure. We're going to be using HTML5, which I kind of use loosely to mean HTML, JavaScript, and CSS 3. And then in the back, we're going to be using, sorry for the logo, it has been updated, but we're going to be using Windows Azure SQL databases to drive our data into and through mobile services. In the end, we're going to have iOS 6 applications and Android apps. But in the middle, we're going to use a product that my company at Telerik produces, Icenium. It's a development environment IDE that is based in the cloud. So it's free to use until next month, and then we'll have a pricing plan announced. But it's a great tool that is quickly getting updated to be very feature rich. So we'll talk about that and we'll show that product off today. So everyone who has gone in and created a mobile service has the chance to come in and create one. And then if you want to create the sample app, you get to do the to-do app. So let's take a look at that and we'll show that off real quick. So if you have this, you always come in and you have your notification that your mobile service was created. If you come down here to a new, that you want to create a new HTML app, you have the ability to create a to-do table and download and run this app. So that app looks like this. If you run it through a web browser, it allows you to add stuff to it. So I'll say apples. It'll load that up, and it'll take a second to come back, but you'll see that apples was added to our to-do list. So let's take a look and bring up a project in the Asinium development environment and show how we can take that project and move it into a web app. So you'll see here that I have the product. Over here we have the project navigator. You'll see that we have a workspace. It's just called Azure Mobile Services To Do. And we have the an index file, an index.html, and then a JavaScript app that's holding our application functionality for this. So it's a very simple, basically it's the same application that you will get and download from the to-do project from the mobile services site. And the only thing I will say is that we'll talk about this in a little while, that we have some differences where we have our JavaScript files are part of our project. So we'll talk about that in a second, why we do that. On the back end, what we have is we have a event that we're firing off and we're waiting for. It's on the on device ready. So what that will do is when our device, when the app, the environment is ready to stage our application, this event will fire off and we will go through the our code. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to create our mobile services client, just like we do in a traditional web-based environment. And then we're just going to get our to-do table or to-do item table from our SQL database in Windows Azure. And then we'll come down and basically do the exact same code. So I just wanted to show how simple it was to migrate applications over to Windows or over to a mobile application platform. So you'll see all the code is ready to go. Up here, we can save. We can run our application in a simulator. So I'm going to run that right now. You'll see that it is running. It's going to take a second to fire up, and we have our application. So it looks very similar to what you see in the web browser. It even has the three items that I showed in the last browser, including apples, which I just added a few minutes ago. I will show that I can add something else. So I'll say we need a pizza for tonight. So I'm gonna say I need to get that. So we can do that. We can delete things. So I don't want any more cheese, and we can do that. So I just wanted to show that this does work very well migrating over existing applications and existing code for your mobile services. Also with this product, we can change this so that we can simulate other devices. So if we wanted to take a look and show what it would look like on iPad, we can. Android phone. We're not doing anything real different, so it is looking very similar to everything. And so let us get out of the simulator, and we will move along. If anyone does have questions, please ask, and I'll try to answer everything. So the next thing we want to do is with this application is bring in our authentication. So let me talk about that for a second. So I would love to show authentication. We do have a known non-feature in our product that does not allow for the way that mobile services authenticates users. So I apologize for that. We will be getting that up to speed. So at this point, I cannot show that currently. But just know that our product, it will be updated very soon to handle that. It has to do with, I'll just give you some insight into that. It has to do with PhoneGap and Cordova. So basically, Asinium is a wrapper around PhoneGap. And With the traditional PhoneGap product and tool, you can there's a file that you can add whitelisted external domains, web domains to, that allow the application the permission to go to those sites within your application. Our tool does not allow for this whitelist to be added to. So if I ran this, we would get an error, and just trust me, it won't work, but it soon will. So we can go through and take a look at some of the background. So let's just take a look at what this is actually doing in the background, just so people can see what is going on. So we do have our client. So this is a client for our mobile services. If you come over here, you'll see that it takes in the URL for our mobile services. That's a RESTful service endpoint. It also takes in our app key. I'm not worried about anyone seeing that. It doesn't really have anything to do other than to validate the application to allow it to get data if the permissions on the tables dictate that is needed. So, and we'll talk about that in a second also. So we're going to get our table. It's a to-do item that's in our SQL database. Going to come back out. And what we're going to be doing in here is I'm going to be saying refresh to-do items. And we're just going to be taking that query of where completed is false and bringing that in and building out some HTML to populate a list in our HTML front end. And then we'll also say how many items that we have in this list, and we'll populate that in the front. So everyone's kind of seen that. I did want to go through and show how we do the rest of the CRUD operations. So a lot of times you'll see with mobile services is that people will show getting data, reading data, but I also want to show and give some insight into how we handle the other updating, inserting, and deleting data through this. It's very simple, and we'll quickly go through that. So when we want to handle an update, we have to go through each property that we're going to update. And basically, we're going to come in here and call that same table that we did, but just with the updated method, and give it the ID. For this, table is very simple. It just has an ID. It has a text field that's a string, and a is complete, which is a bool. And so the next thing we do is we still use the same ID, and we set the is complete. And then at the very last property, we then call refresh to do item. So if I had five properties I was updating, I would wait until the fifth property, and then I would call refresh at the end of that last update, which will go back out and it will get all the data from that table where the items are not completed. It will build out that HTML and it will push that back out to the front end. And same thing we do with delete. So when we want to delete, we just give it the ID of the record that we want to delete. We use del, and then at the end of the delete, we just will then, like we did before, we'll call refresh to-do items to rebuild our HTML. And then this gets called when we first load up our application. So this will get called on the initial load to build. If we could do authentication, we have some other code in here that will go through. Hopefully this will work, like I said, with our product soon. And if we were to take a look at this, let's take a look at what we would do. So the, to build this out with authentication, let me uncomment this out. We would want to not have that initial load of refresh to-do items, because we would want our application not to pull back any data because we want it to be authenticated. We would then come in and at the bottom, we would come in and when we start this page, we're gonna call refresh off display, which will, one, it will come in and set our login, logout controls to see which, what is the current state of the application to do in regards to authentication. And if the user is logged in, then we will refresh the to-do items. So the one thing that I do want to talk about is there are many different ways to authenticate with mobile services. We can use the Microsoft Live ID or a Microsoft account, now that it's called. We can also use Twitter. We can use Facebook. And we can go out and take a look at those and see what we can do. So if I go out to identity, you'll see that each one of these, hopefully this will refresh soon, each one of these, I will not go down to the Twitter because I don't want to expose the secret sauce, so to say, for my Twitter account setting, but each one will have a client, will have a pair of strings. Either it will be something like a client ID or an app ID or an API ID, and then a client secret, which is just a string that will get sent over to validate that the application that you're running or the website that you're accessing has permission to go back and use whatever authentication process has been set up on both ends. So let's go back, so that's basically the gist of a mobile services. So like I said, let's move on and go back to our, so now we're gonna talk about a little more advanced. We're gonna talk about building an application that looks more like a mobile application. So with PhoneGap and Ascenium, we can build those applications. Today I'm gonna be using the Kendo Mobile product to allow for a very productive way to produce mobile applications. So if you haven't looked at Kendo Mobile, strongly urge you to do that. It's a great product and will give you a lot of productivity advantages. So let us come in and take a look at our other demo. So this other demo is a product. Let me run it first and show you what it looks like. I always like to show off the product. Let me get rid of, sorry about that. Okay, so this is kind of what the application looks like. We do have a home button down below. We have beers and we have breweries. So you've guessed it, this is a beer catalog application. I have a database in the cloud, in SQL, in the Azure SQL database land. And this database has a number of tables. One, it has a beer table. Two, it has a brewery table. And there also is some other tables. There's a style that holds all the beer styles. And there's also a table that holds all the beer categories. And then there's a table that holds geolocation data. So one thing that I do want to stress about mobile services, I like to talk about, you know, we all see the shiny pennies about mobile services, but there are some rusty washers to do with mobile services, and I just want to make sure that everyone is aware of those, that if you have a SQL database in Windows Azure, or Windows Azure, that database may have relational links between the tables. There may be foreign keys. You may have other things in there. The one thing about mobile services at this point is, remember, when you're building these applications, you do not have access to those foreign keys. So as an example, I have a foreign key from beers to breweries, but I cannot expose that through mobile services because that is not hasn't been exposed through the service yet. So just wanted to make sure you understand that. Okay, so first question that came up, Kevin, is Ascenium a product developed by Microsoft? No, and sorry if I didn't explain this in the beginning. Ascenium is a product that was created by Telerik, my employer. But everything that you can do in these examples, you can use PhoneGap. So PhoneGap is a open source product. It's an open source tool that you can download and install on your computer. The only problem going to be is that when you want to compile those applications fully into especially iOS, you're going to have the tools to develop those, to compile those. To compile those down to a executable that you can then send up to the application stores or the app stores for Apple and Google. What Ascenium will do is we've decoupled a lot of that stuff, and we put it up in the cloud so that you don't have to have the compilers, so to say. In the end, you can access those as a service in the cloud and not have to have those tools locally on your computers. So thanks, Kevin, for asking that question. So let's get back. So this is the beer catalog, and we just have a home page. We have our beers. So this is just a list that I can move up and down, and then we can see our breweries. So we can come in and take a look at breweries and everything. Very simple application, but I wanted to keep it kind of simple so that when we take a look at the code, it doesn't get too complex. So let's take a look at this and move on from there. So when we pull data out of the one thing I do want to talk about is if you wanted to debug and to test out your mobile service endpoints, there's a great way to test those out before you get into the application, so to say. I'm going to be using Fiddler for this. So this is the way that I test out my service endpoints for not only for mobile services, for any RESTful service. What I have is, and I'm going to magnify this. So what I have is in my thing, sorry about that, is I'm going to be bringing in beercatalog.azure-mobile.net/table/beers. So what this is saying is I'm going to be calling the beers table for this service endpoint. Now, if I call this, and this is through the Fiddler Composer, so I'm going to be composing a GET request based on that URL. So if I come out of here and I press execute, it's going to take a second. You'll see down below that I have JSON. So this JSON will contain all of the beer information or beer data, all the entities that came over from that from in the back end, that database coming through mobile services. And you'll see that they're all there, and this is working fine, and this gives me the confidence to then go into my application and start working in the application, since I know I can now access this this data. So in here, what we're going to be doing is a little different. We're not going to be building HTML by hand. We're going to be actually using Kendo UI Mobile to build our controls and to bind data through data sources in the back end. So you'll see that that basically we have, and I'll show this to you, we have a div right here, this layout, that will be our mobile tool strip, our tab strip, I'm sorry. This mobile tab strip is kind of the basis for our application. So we have a header, and then we have a div, will be our footer, and that footer will contain our home button, our beer, and our breweries. So each one of those will be a separate div that we've set up. So we have our home div that just had our welcome and had our explore the great beers and breweries of the world. We have another div that will be our tab strip for beers. And that will just have a unsorted list that will contain our beers. And we'll just call that beer-list view. And then we also have the same type of div for our breweries. And really, that's as simple as we need to go. We also have some stuff like some edit views down below that we'll look at if we have time in a few minutes. But just by having this bit of code, HTML, we can go back in our back end, which is our JavaScript, and we can build out our application, our business logic in the back, the call and the getting our data. So again, we're going to be using on-device ready to build our to know when our device is ready to be stood up and gathered. One thing that I did do, and what we did on this application, was we exposed the mobile service client, the beer table, and the brewery table externally. So if we want to add more, which we will, we're going to build this application out very richly in the future. We want to expose those variables externally. So if we have any other code, additional JavaScript libraries, or anything that need access to those, we can. So again, we're going to create our mobile service client. We're going to get our beer table. We're going to get our brewery table. And we're going to call get beer and get breweries right away. So this is going to get called off right away, so that when we stand up the application, we will get that data. I don't have any where clauses on this. Right now, basically, I'm just doing a select star from table, which in real world, I shouldn't be doing. I probably should either set up some kind of where clause that will give me a small amount of beers to start with, and then as we progress through to get more and more, or I should kind of set up paging. So this is just a test app, but I just wanted to make sure that everyone knows best practices should be that you shouldn't grab all of your data. If there is a lot of data, you should allow for paging or some type of method, so that only a small amount of data gets brought back at once, and then as the user needs more and more, it gets brought back in chunks to be processed through the application. So let's take a look at how we're going to get our beer data. So we have a function called getBeers, and that query is equal to our table, and we're just going to call the read of that table. So we're going to say read the data based on the query that we set up. So right now it just will grab everything, and we will get back a beer list, and then we're going to set that beers to our items. Now in here, what we're going to do now is we're going to use Kendo to transform our beer list view into a Kendo mobile list view. So it will make it look like either an iOS list, or it will look like a list that would be exposed through an Android application. So the nice thing about Kendo is that it will just set that up, and we can move on from there. We don't have to kind of set up the initial look and feel of everything. It just does that for us because we've set that up on a unsorted list in our HTML front end. So we're going to have a data source, and that data source is going to be our items. We're going to say that our list view is selectable, so we can tap on those items, and then we're going to group this. We're going to just order everything by the name, and we're going to do it descending, and then we're going to use a template, an HTML template that is in our front end that just will make what's in our each list view cell have a certain look and feel, and we'll take a look at that again in a minute. And then we'll come down to Kendo Touch. Kendo Touch is there so that we can develop in a very touch-centric way on our devices. So this is the Kendo Touch will allow you to do certain things like enable a swipe, touch start. If we tap the device screen, we'll know where that tap is, and then a swipe. So we just set that up because, remember, we're not developing for the web anymore. We're really developing all this stuff for devices. And so that will give us all of our items. Those will be bound up to the unsorted list in our front, and we'll be off and running. And we're going to do the same thing with Get Breweries. And then we're going to come down, and we have these up here in our Kendo Touch. We set up these events that will be fired off when certain touch events get fired off. So we have our touch start, our navigate, and our swipe, and those just do certain things. If we want to tap, we can go to a detail. I can show that real quick. In the simulator, if we go to beer, if we go here, basically what this was doing was I caught a tap, and it brought over the detail for that beer. So in here, the kind of an interesting beer I chose, Lucifer, in the database table in the back end for the beers, we have each beer is classified with a alcohol by volume, the bitterness, which is the IBUs, and then SRM is the color of the beer. There's a numeric value for the color of every beer that is produced and classified. So basically, that is, in a nutshell, that is what we're doing. And so there's some other things. If we need to, like a knit, so this is the detail knit. We just kind of go through and do some work. If anyone wants this project, more than welcome. It'll be out on my GitHub site in a couple days. Just need to tweak it a little bit more before it gets consumed by the public. Let's go back to our presentation. So we talked about the Azure services that we hooked up. We talked about the best practice. I always use Fiddler to test and to see what the JSON data that's coming from my Azure service access point, just to make sure that that I know how many records are coming through, what the name of the properties, just to get comfortable with it, to know how quick data is coming back depending on the network I'm on, just to kind of let me get some knowledge about the environment I'm in. So let's talk about some best practices that we can use for mobile services. So for each table that we set up through mobile services, we can give permissions to the four basic CRUD operations. So create, read, update, and delete. So we can give a classification for that. So let's take a look at that. I just want to show you guys, make sure you guys are aware of that. So if I come back to Beer Garden data, and then I'm going to take a look at the beer table, you'll see that there's data showing. But then if I come over here to permissions, you'll see that I can set different permissions up for different tables. So if you come down here and take a look at the read permission on this, I've set it to everyone. So in my world, I don't care if someone reads the data out of this beer table. There's no sensitive data in there, and more than likely, you know, it's something that if someone wants to get to it, they can have access to read it. I have set the other operations, the insert, update, and delete, to be only performed by authenticated users. So it's just my way of kind of letting data out and letting people use my data. So just wanted to show off that so we can take a look at that for best practice. The other thing is you have to remember that the app key is not a hash password. It really is just a random set of characters that get created at the beginning, at the creation of your mobile service. To be honest, I don't even worry about if it's a secret. So it will be, if someone really wanted to find out what it is, they could probably figure it out by using your application or going to some way of getting to using an application that goes back and uses your mobile service. I would say that probably in the beginning, if you were starting to develop all this, I would probably best practice turn everything off. So even if you didn't need, I would assume, let me back up, I would assume that in development, I would probably expose most of my data to everyone so that I could develop very freely. And then at production, I would set those table permission, those table operation permissions at that point, retest my application, and then send it out to production. So we did show how we can connect applications to mobile services. It's very easy going through the mobile service client and using the operations on the mobile service tables that you can then initialize from the client. So let's take a look at best practices around not only mobile services, but around our Ascenium product and around the PhoneGap also. So in the beginning, I told you that we had to change some of our script calls, our script references to to not reference external scripts. So if you're used to going out to a CDN to get things like your jQuery library, your jQuery script, or just going out to some external facing site, you can't do that with building these mobile applications. So let's take an example. We'll come back to this best practice in a second. So in my front end up here, you'll see that everything is, I have all of my scripts internal. So you'll see that my mobile services is part of my built into my project. If I go to my other project, which is a little more, you'll see that jQuery 1.9.1 is built into my project also. You have to do that because most of the app stores that you're going to be sending and trying to get your applications accepted and into those marketplaces, if you don't follow where you have everything built into your application, they probably will be rejected. I know Apple does not allow applications to download and include code at runtime of the application, and that's really what would happen in your application. You would start your application, it would go out, it would try to download this JavaScript library, and it wouldn't even get into the marketplace because Apple will test that out and see if that happens. And if it does happen, they'll reject your application. Google probably will also. There's security issues involved. We do have a question. Does 80s Rocker asks, does Ascenium include the Kendo UI mobile controls, or do I have to pay for both Ascenium and Kendo UI mobile controls? So I don't really want to get into too much of a licensing issue, but they are two separate products. So yes, you would have to buy each. Ascenium will be will have a subscription monthly cost. I don't know what the monthly cost will be, but there will be a service that you pay for. The Kendo UI mobile controls are just has a normal control license price, and you can go out to Telerik.com or KendoUI.com and take a look at that. So let's go back to our presentation and take a look at the remaining best practices. Like I said, you will violate most of the App Store policies for downloading external code into your application during runtime if you don't reference all your external scripts internally, if you don't bring those internal into your projects. We talked about this one. Always listen for touch events rather than click events. So this is that thinking where we're going to be moving away from web development, where we think of clicking a mouse and reacting to clicks, to where we're going to be reacting to touch events. So very similar to what we're all experiencing with moving from Windows 7 to Windows 8 and with the Windows Store application. So it's the same thinking. We have to react to touch, multiple touches, swipes, and other events that are very new to our development world with the rise of mobility. This is a suggestion. The application that I showed you has some limitations really we're going to refactor it. I'm going to refactor the application before it gets sent out to the world so that we can load JavaScript on demand. For performance reasons, you should always load your JavaScript on demand so that you're not having to load everything all at once. In very complex applications that you're going to be building using a product like Ascenium or PhoneGap, if you have a huge amount of JavaScript in your application and you have to load all that up at the start, you're going to have a performance issue and your user experience will be affected. So by using something like Require.js, which is a JavaScript library that you can download, it's a free library that will allow you to load other JavaScript libraries when they're needed. So I suggest that, and what we're going to be doing with our sample application is refactoring it to allow for Require.js to load those JavaScript applications. Now, we don't have very many in ours, but it's just good practice to do that. And then the last thing is you should always use CSS effects when possible. They will allow your application to have better performance. So always use the CSS, the new CSS and CSS3 effects that are at our disposal as web developers. So again, I talked about authentication. I wish I could show it. I do apologize about that. So publish. So traditionally, you would have to compile your application. You would have to then take that and then submit it and then fill out a bunch of forms and go through a bunch of steps and have to keep track of files. The nice thing about Ascenium is that we have a publishing model in our application that allow you to publish directly from our IDE, basically directly from the cloud. So what this will allow you to do is you can select your platform. If I were to go, I want to go out to Google Play, you would have to set up and set up all your developer related information based on the Google Store so that Ascenium knows that you're a valid developer, that you're allowed to submit applications. But I just wanted to show that is there. The other feature that I'm very excited about is version control. So within your application, we can go and grab this stuff from Git or GitHub if you have projects out there. So the nice thing is we can clone. In the beginning, we can say clone. I can give it a GitHub repository. This will automatically bring in all the sample applications that are sitting out in the Telerik GitHub account. So if I wanted to bring in and clone our music, well, this one's mine. So if I wanted to go out and take a look at the Telerik samples, I apologize, I could go out and grab that. So if I wanted to see how to grab our sample device information, I would just do that. And then I would say, okay. And basically what it's doing is it's pulling down all that code from GitHub and pushing it up into my space up in the cloud. And we have the project. If I wanted to, if this was my project and I wanted to commit stuff, I could commit. I could invite other collaborators to do that. But since it's not mine, I will come back to my projects. And you can invite other people to this. No one else is invited to work on this project, but I could add my friend Shane Boyer, who helped me greatly on this demos. He's tattoo coder on GitHub, so I could invite him in, and he would be invited to be a collaborator on this tool. So Alex says, doesn't best practice on using required JS violate other practice around not using external scripts? So that's a good question, Alex. What I mean by using required JS to pull in and to load up JavaScript libraries is not that I want to go out and get external JavaScript libraries. I just don't want to load up all the JavaScript libraries that are currently in my project all at once. So what I want is I want to have all of my JavaScript included in my executable, included in my project file, but then when I need them, I want to load them into memory when they're needed so that they're not all loaded at the beginning. So hopefully, Alex, that answers your questions, and thank you for asking that. That's a really great question. So with this, let's go back to take a look at what we have left in our presentation. So we talked about publishing. Here are all of the devices that Ascenium will work against. We can work and get access to the iPhones, iPads, basically pure Android devices we can work with. And also, there's some hoops that you have to jump through, but you can actually get and load your applications on Kindle Fire devices. You can find out how to do all this and some of the tricks to get working with Kindle Fire out on the Ascenium website. So the to-do sample application that I demoed in the beginning that moved the sample app that everyone gets if they create their first web service and go through the to-do tutorial. That project is out on my GitHub account. And if you go out to github.com/cwoodruff/Azure Mobile Services to Do, you can go out and clone and pull that code from my repository. Like I said, the other demo project to do with the beer catalog will be out in, I would say, in a number two or three days. We're just kind of refactoring it so that it's much better to look at, and it has I'll admit that it doesn't stink. So there are some stinky points in the demo that I did today, and so I just want to kind of clean it up and get it out to you guys without a lot of stink on it. So at this point, if anyone wants to go out and take a look, like I said, if mobile services, it's windowsazure.com/UNUS for English /develop/mobile. For Telerik Ascenium, just go out to ascenium.com and Kendo UI. If you want to take a look at Kendo UI and Kendo UI Mobile, just go out to kendouI.com. Again, my name is Chris Woodruff, but please just call me Woody, because there's too many Chris's in the world. There's email, my Telerik email, if you want to get a hold of me to ask me anything about Telerik. Twitter is C. Woodruff. Skype is C. Woodruff. My blog, I blog at chriswoodruff.com. And again, if I hope that everyone will go out and take a listen to the podcast that I do with my good friend Keith Elder. We do Deep Fried Bites, and I will say, if anyone has ideas for the podcast, please send them to us. Or if you want to be on the podcast, we're always looking for fresh voices from around the world that have great ideas and want to kind of just talk and share their ideas with the world. So with that, just want to remind everyone about the Global Azure Boot Camp that's coming up on April 27th. Highly recommend that you find a local group and a local event and take some of this knowledge and use it. So thank you very much. If there's anything else, we do have one last question. Does this work with Windows Phone and Windows 8? So Kevin, what I showed you is a client library around a web client library. So there's a number of different client libraries that Microsoft has brought out for mobile services. There's one for Windows 8. There's one for Windows Phone 8. There's one for iOS, native iOS. There's one for Android. And now the last one that they brought out was for pure HTML5 SDK. So that's what this is over. Kevin, if you want to go out to the Azure mobile service website, you can find all the information that you want around Windows Phone and Windows 8. And they, a lot of the SDKs, they all behave the same way. So they're just exposed and allow you to access those libraries in many different platforms. So thank you, Kevin, for asking that question. So with that, if no one has any other questions, I really want to thank you for listening and watching this session over building mobile applications with HTML5. Thank you. Good night, or good morning, or good afternoon.